Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. Now, you might well be expecting us to talk about television. It is Wednesday, of course. But we're changing channels and switching over to our first ever podcast review. Exciting stuff. So over the next 15 minutes, I'll be joined by The Telegraph's podcast reviewer, Pete Norton, to discuss three series that he thinks you should be adding to your listening list every week. Pete, welcome to the Monocle Arts Review.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Now, let's begin with, well, it could be everyone's favourite subject or it could be everyone's least favourite subject, but compelling nonetheless, that being Donald Trump. I almost quiver to say those words, but of course, there is plenty to discuss when we come to this topic. There's probably quite a number of podcasts dedicated to this particular presidential nominee. What made you choose Trumpcast?
Well, this is a podcast from Slate magazine, who already have a large stable of successful podcasts. They do these things called Gab Fests, political and cultural, and they have their own podcast network called Panoply. So they're kind of big fish in the podcast game. And this show began in, I think, in March, when it became clear that Trump was, you know, going to be an ongoing presence in our lives. And it's just, I wouldn't have imagined that a show that comes out three or four times a week on one topic would be arresting over a long period of time, but it really is. Each episode's sort of 20 minutes long. It's hosted by he's the chair of the Slate group, a guy called Jacob Weisberg, who's a sort of really canny and urbane, quite witty sort of journalist. And each episode essentially is an interview between him and someone who has something to say about Trump, an expert. So you often get journalists who've been writing long investigative pieces about Trump, or they've had tax experts talking about his returns. He had an interview with the chap who ghostwrote The Art of the Deal. But you get an angle on Trump that I don't get elsewhere. Like, I look, this is kind of where I get my Trump fix from now, is this show. And they also, the absolute sort of USP of it, they've got this amazing, amazing pin-sharp Trump impressionist called John DiDomenico, who reads out, in every episode, reads out a few of Trump's tweets.
That actually picks up on such a detail that's been missing in a lot of the media when we're talking about this particular election, is that we're so used to covering politicians as politicians, and that's not how you can cover Donald Trump. And I found that so frustrating, that often you see in a lot of the media that we'll talk about something that Donald Trump did and then simply move on. When you brought this up, I haven't listened to Trumpcast. I've actually been fixated on the New York Times' other political podcast, The Run-Up. But this one being purely dedicated to Trump, does it get a little bit frustrating sometimes that that's all you're talking about? Or is it done in a way that actually maybe lets off a bit of steam in that respect, actually asks those questions and gets to those topics that would otherwise be sort of skimmed over by some of the mainstream press?
I'd say it really does, yeah. And Weisberg has a real sense of the kind of ethics of what he's doing as well. He does speak about that, like about the way in which some of the problems with Trump is that you get so engrossed in one story that the outrage of the previous week slips by. I mean, obviously, you don't listen to Trumpcast if you don't want to be thinking about Donald Trump, because it's
called Trumpcast.
It's called Trumpcast. So, if I've had an overload of it, I don't reach for this show. But I genuinely do listen to this a few times a week and really, really enjoy it. I mean, one thing I'd say as well that's interesting about this election, you mentioned the New York Times one. Obviously, you guys are doing the global election as well, a podcast specifically about this general election. There's a World Service podcast just launched, again, about the US election. And this is the first time in my listening, anyway, and I've been writing about podcasts for 4 years, that a current affairs event has stimulated a really wide response in the podcast world. And I think that speaks to the development of the medium, that now it's become agile enough to be a kind of rapid response thing that you can have. It's competing and actually offering something slightly distinct to mainstream media.
Is part of that, though, that we've got two presidential candidates now who are quite well-established pop culture figures? Neither of them are new on the scene. We've got someone who's been around, well, they've both been around since the 80s and 90s, really, haven't they? We know who they are. There are no questions there. They're celebrities, basically. Yeah. That's what they are. They're celebrities and then they're politicians, one more so than the other. But, I mean, let's also look at a topic like Brexit. That was reported absolutely everywhere in the press. It was reported to the point of exhaustion, yet didn't create that level of intrigue. There weren't really that many podcasts popping up purely dedicated to Brexit, heaven forbid. Is there a bit of a difference there? Is there something specific about the celebritization of the US election this time that has lent itself quite well to this style of medium?
I think you're absolutely right, and that it's that you know, this is kind of a perfect storm, and the fact that there's so much to seemingly unpick from this election, and it's such a weird kind of surrealistic network type event for us all. There's more to unpack. I can't imagine if it was Gore v. Bush now, you wouldn't. I can't imagine you'd have 5 podcasts about that.
No,
necessarily.
No, I can't imagine any spin-offs of the Theresa May cast, yeah. For instance.
Well, watch this space.
All right, well, let's move along now to something completely different. Song Exploder. This is your next choice, and it's a firm favourite among some of the Monocle 24 staff as well, I do have to admit. In each episode, the Los Angeles resident Hrishi Hirway, I hope I've said that right, meets a musician or band to discuss the genesis of one of their songs. Now, the program takes the song apart to its individual parts, and they discuss the aha moments that made the final product. The podcast has featured everyone from Grimes to Iggy Pop to even Björk. Pete, what have been some of your series highlights along the way?
I've enjoyed almost every episode of this show. I really enjoyed the one with Björk because she's just so, you know, you don't often get to hear her talk about the way she makes her stuff.
And obviously, you don't get to hear her talk that often, really.
No,
you?
And she's got this. She sounds exactly as you'd imagine she sounds. She sounds like this. And her name is Björk, and she kind of talks about in the episode with her. She talks about the way in which having a laptop has influenced her style, to the way she thinks about lyrics, to putting reverb on a certain moment of her song.
There's something about her that is oddly compelling in more ways than just her music, though. Even watching her as an actress in the Lars von Trier film.
Dancer
in the Dark. Yeah.
I mean, the thing that's special about this show is that he sits down with musicians with the master tapes of a song that they feel creatively kindred with, that they're proud of. He isolates certain elements of their songs. You can really hear... get behind the creative process, which isn't something you get very often with interviews with musicians. You know, usually it's about what's touring like, you know, what's the lifestyle like, all this kind of stuff. And for me, I'm much more interested in the behind the scenes kind of thing. And this one really scratches that itch. And since he's been doing it, I think he's done 50 odd episodes now. You know, it has become. I get the sense that musicians are now reaching out to him because they want to talk, like they don't get this opportunity elsewhere. So you've had big bands. U2 did an episode. You know, the fact that Björk came on it and he. Years ago, Hrishi, the host, said that she was one of his like dream guests. He said it in a kind of jokey way, like I'm never going to get her, and there she is. So I think it's really special, and I think it's paying for itself as well. This show now it's part of Radiotopia, who are a very well respected podcast network, and so it's an example of a show that was born on the internet, did something very distinctive, at a very high level of quality, and is now a cultural presence and is beloved by many people around the world, including, I'm pleased to hear, members of your staff.
Indeed. Such a difficult thing to create a pop culture phenomenon like that. We've got a bit of a clip to give us a taster. This is from episode 60, which is the one that was all about Björk's song titled Stone Milker.
Ever since I got my laptop 15 years ago, probably the biggest part of me as a musician is the editor. I probably spend like 90% of my time making music, editing. You know, if it's editing vocals, editing beats, editing instruments, I think that's a very big part of my work now. So that's also another side.
Who can share and who has shut down the chances?
That sentence is there and the reverb is cut there just to show, you know, what happens if you are closed. If you cut down chances, it's a certain closing a door there. And sometimes you show sonically something emotional.
Who has shut down the chances?
The unmistakable voice of Björk there from episode 60 of Song Exploder. Pete, really fascinating idea for a podcast, and it's so oddly simple as well. We're talking about a short 15 to 20 minute package that's only released maybe, 2 to 3 times a month,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He edits his own. He obviously speaks to them more than even, but it's, you only hear the artist's voice. And I really like that as well because you get, you know, sometimes you can get a lot of crosstalk in podcasts or people who like the sound of their own voice a bit too much. And in this case, it's very pure. Like it delivers exactly what it says it will deliver. Mm. Yeah, I think it's a superlatively classy show, that.
Well, that's Song Exploder, which is available now on iTunes, and you can find out more over at songexploder.net as well. Well, let's move along and talk about Radio Atlas. This is a podcast made by the British radio producer Eleanor McDowell that takes you on a round-the-world trip via foreign language audio pieces. Pete, tell us about this one. What sort of stories are we looking at here?
Well, to give a bit of background first, this is it's kind of almost to call this a podcast is slightly wrong, because it's a website in which she basically finds very high quality and interesting podcasts and radio pieces that have been recorded and made in foreign languages, and then she has them subtitled and she displays them as videos so you have to watch a video, and it's just a very simple white screen with a classily done subtitles coming up. So it essentially allows you as an English language speaker to access these audio pieces which otherwise would have been sort of lost to you, because they're not being overdubbed. And I think even if they were overdubbed, you'd lose a lot of the atmosphere of the piece.
So, just hearing you talk about it, it's difficult to grasp how you would be able to take this in. Do you feel yourself feeling the full effect of what's being said?
It's quite uncanny, yeah. Because I was, you know, when I heard this idea, I thought, well, that's interesting, but I'm just going to be staring at video. And it's surprisingly transportive. It's you sit there. The subtitles are very nicely done as well. It's like a classily produced thing, but I totally have found myself just being lost. And then you, at the end of 10 or 15 minutes, I sort of step back and realize that I have just, it felt like I was listening as opposed to I was reading.
We've got a clip actually from an episode called Hong Kong Song. Pete, before we play it, just giving an explanation, what are we hearing in this clip?
So this is a German radio producer called Jens Jarisch, and I hope I've got his name right there. And he's basically, he grew up in Hong Kong and is looking back on his childhood there, and he's made a kind of an evocative sound portrait of the city. And I think this is a good example of the ways in which, obviously, you're getting only half the picture because you haven't got the subtitles, but you get a sense of the kind of exoticism of what is being offered by this site, and the sense of adventure that wouldn't be the case if it was just being done in English.
Motorwege. Tramlinien. Tunnelröhren. Klimatisierte Busse, Taxis, Untergrundbahnen.
I mean, as you were saying, it's difficult to gauge the full reaction as a purely audio form just there. But I mean, obviously we're talking about very, very audio rich, lushly layered pieces of radio here.
Yes. And there are other things in the site as well. One of my favourite pieces is a series of three from a French radio station called Crackopolis, which are these amazing documentaries featuring the words of people who are involved in the drug trade, in the crack trade, in a Parisian, in a sort of down-at-heel Parisian suburb. It's really striking and kind of, makes your hair stand on end documentary work that, you know, I wouldn't have ever known about. I wouldn't have ever been able to understand or hear were it not for this quite simple little website.
Again, we've got to that format. It's oddly simple, and yet simplicity seems to be the key, at least with what we're talking about here today. So that is Radio Atlas. You can find out more about that over at radioatlas.org. And we have one more to discuss now. This is The Author's Voice. It's a series of short audio books by authors from Zadie Smith to Jonathan Franzen, all of which were published by The New Yorker magazine. Pete, what made you pick up on this one?
Well, I've been listening. The New Yorker have been doing podcasts for a long time. They got into it, pushing on for 10 years ago. And they have quite a broad stable of stuff now. And I really like this series because, there's nothing, as adults, we come to miss being read to. It's something that you have as a child, and then it's suddenly sort of, someone turns off the tap. And this podcast offers that again. And it's essentially that in every edition of The New Yorker, they have a piece of short fiction, often from well-known writers, but sometimes from complete unknowns. So it's their first published piece. And The Author's Voice offers, it's the author reading their piece.
It's interesting. I found that a lot of the most popular podcasts that are coming out recently are sort of breaking the rules of what maybe traditional radio would have been, and that is to have lots of variety, lots of short little pieces that culminate into one thing. A lot of the podcasts we're seeing here are consisting of just one voice that often just reads one long story or essay. And again, that seems to be what we're finding here. And The New Yorker is an interesting example, actually, because they seem to have quite a variety of content, and then have just recently maybe cut some of that to create the New Yorker Radio Hour.
Yes.
How are you finding the sort of experimenting that the New Yorker have done here, from maybe short variety pieces now culminating into one radio package?
I'm very impressed by it, actually. I think the New Yorker Radio Hour I listen to it a lot, and I think it's done something. I mean, it is being made in conjunction with WNYC studios, and I think it does also go out on the radio. So there's something to be said there that they have. I mean, you need resources in order to be able to do a big magazine show, as you guys would well know, and you obviously have it here. I think that's one reason why you often podcasts do just have one. I do one thing because it's usually one or two people, and to be bringing in 10 different elements over an hour of radio is like a full time job for a few people over a week. So there's a resource element to the experimentation within podcasting. But yeah, I mean, I think The New Yorker, for me, are one of the leading lights of this kind of podcasting from the States.
Indeed. That is the author's voice. And for more info on that, you can head over to thenewyorker.com. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guest, Pete Norton. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. My producer was Holly Fisher, and the show was researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our book review. But for now, thanks for listening and goodbye.